Live from Data Doctors HQ.
This is the Data Doctors radio program, delivering tech knowledge for your technology.
Hey, welcome back to the very best place on the airwaves and the interweb to get your technology information. It's the Data Doctors radio program. And as always, you can jump right in with us at datadoctors.com/radio to check out all the incredibly interesting things that we're talking about this week. Thanks for joining us here, because without you, we'd just be talking to ourselves. Spanky, what's on our hot list this week?
Android smartphones have sprung a leak. Also, Sony welcomes back all you gamers. And I'll wait, this just in. Hold that story. And ever wonder why your Wi-Fi sucks? We'll tell you.
Data Doctors radio program.
Yeah, but first, if you have an Android phone, you probably heard this week that it's leaking.
Really badly.
Drip, drip.
Kind of like that, only something a little more important than that type of... the battery wasn't leaking, the water wasn't leaking, it was your data.
No, nothing important.
How'd that work?
Just all your personal information.
Google login.
It's not maybe as bad as you think, though. It's only when you're on free public Wi-Fi that
Which
you really got the issue.
A lot of people seem to be using.
So it's like Fire Sheep for Android.
Yeah, I mean, this issue occurred... This is not a new issue. It's new for this kind of device, but we did a story actually probably about 6-8 months ago or so.
Yeah.
On we went out to some popular coffee shops, Starbucks, and
no, we didn't go to Starbucks.
We went to places like Starbucks Starbucks.
We went to a local facility because we wanted to support the local coffee guy.
Starbucks Tempe.
It was a local Starbucks, right? So the idea is you would be on your laptop surfing away. You'd be on Facebook. You'd be Google searching. You'd be doing all kinds of stuff. And if you weren't at secure sites, there was a little simple piece of software that anybody could install and sniff away and not only see kind of what you were doing, but take over your Facebook account or your Google search or whatever it was. And so
they call it sidejacking. Somebody's sitting next to you hijacking your stuff.
Or they're trying to steal your coffee.
And back then, our advice was, if you're going to be on public Wi-Fi first, try to avoid it when you can. Certainly don't do financial transactions, those kinds of things, at your local Starbucks or at the airport or wherever you have your free Wi-Fi. But try to enable some of the security features. And then a few months later, I'm sure because of reporting,
us, yes.
Right?
Yes.
Facebook added, and you might see that thing pop up at the top of your Facebook thing saying, hey, you can now enable security on this thing all the time.
Right. Now, the problem, though, is if you're a Verizon customer, you're kind of hosed because you're stuck with Android 2.2.2.
Swing better.
You can't.
Well, hang
upgrade.
On. We made a quick transition there. The point that we're trying to make is that thing that we told you about with your computer in public Wi-Fi now applies to your Android device.
Which is your computer.
Well, I don't think people think about it that
They're
way.
They're all computers.
They're all computers.
Well, I know that. But that's not
an
the way
abacus is a computer without a microchip.
Computer's a guy that can add 2 + 2, isn't it? Does not compute.
Somebody got 5 for that answer.
Yeah. Who Stephen Hawking guy? Is a yes. computer, too.
Well, he's out of his mind computer. Yeah.
So, there is a fix for Android users, sans Verizon Android users, right? So Google released a patch that kind of took care of the problem for some people, and then not for others.
Well, there's a weird thing with the Android operating system. It's not like Mac Fanboy there and his phone, where when there's an update, he gets to go apply that update by, you know, clicking in iTunes and downloading and installing and all that. No, in the Android world, it's pushed out by the carriers, meaning you don't go and get the update. The update comes to you, which has its upside and its downside. In this case, for Verizon customers, there's a downside because you have to wait for them to push it, and they haven't done that yet.
That's fantastic.
Isn't that fantastic?
I'm so glad I'm an Apple user.
Do you see any fixes out there for temporarily? What's our advice there for Android users?
Don't use public Wi-Fi.
Yeah, stay off the public Wi-Fi and you're fine. And most of the Android devices have a pretty fast, nice, robust connection. You can use that. It's secure. It's
or
internal. It's in the network.
You can use the Android 0.01 device. It's number 2 pencil and a yellow pad.
Actually, if you have a Thunderbird or the new Charge and you're on the Verizon network, you got 4G. A little later on, we'll tell you why. You'd be nuts to use public Wi-Fi with the speeds that you get from that thing.
Stay away from the bad stuff, and you won't get the bad stuff.
Hey, Spank, I got some bad news for you.
Yes, sir?
We've been predicting this for a while.
That Macs have taken over the world!
No. Actually, it's the other way around. The bad guys have taken over the Macs. all of that stuff that Steve Jobs and all those commercials saying, we're safer, we're safer, we're safer. Well, guess what?
What are you saying?
You're not safer anymore, pal.
Do you you have antivirus installed on your Mac?
Do I have what?
Antivirus software. Why would I need such a thing is what you're thinking,
please,
right?
Sir.
That's why a lot of people have made
the
switch, right?
MacBook Pro,
well,
17
guess what?
Inch, 6 gig of RAM.
Yeah, get over it.
Malware cometh.
What's that?
Just before the end of the world, it's the end of the Mac world.
You know what? We knew this was going to happen eventually because Macs have become so popular. And as things become more popular, people are starting to be mean.
Well, here's the deal. It's not about the operating system. That's what we've been saying for years. It doesn't matter that the operating system is more secure. That's not where the bad guys are going after you. They're going after you through your browser. That really, really not very secure Safari browser you Mac people are using.
Yeah, don't use Safari.
Yeah, don't use Safari if you're on a Mac.
What else could you use?
I like Google Chrome.
Wait a minute.
Firefox.
You're not stuck with the default thing?
No.
The big blue E in Windows whatever that time-looking thing is?
We are Mac users. We have options.
The reason we're talking about this,
we
saw
more.
The very first specific malware fake antivirus scam pop up and take the Mac world by storm. Of course, there's a lot of arguments about how real it is. Lots and lots of people out there that are going, what's going on here? And the ploy basically is trying to get people to put their credit card number into this device, making it look like this is a Mac security program. And so, again, the same scams and the same ability to exploit the operating systems and the browsers that are out there forever in Windows. There are enough people out there that have Macs now. The bad guys are going, you know what? It's worth writing code. They're coming after you, babe.
Well, and we talked about a few weeks ago that hacker's toolkit was released that basically allows someone with just some basic tech skills to use this toolkit as a way to craft this stuff.
So. Yeah, now for Apple users out there who are used to going into the Apple Store to have things fixed, they have been told at Apple stores, we are not here to remove malware.
Well, actually, that was the Apple Care. There was a discussion from an Apple Care support rep that was, of course, did not get named. But he said that they were instructed by Apple not to start this because they don't want to imply that from this point forward they're going to take care of all this malware that clearly is about to cave in on that whole wonderful world that you guys have been.
Look for a video from me.
You ever been to Old Tucson where the front of the building is real and the back doesn't exist?
It's a facade. Yeah. Hey, yeah. Still ahead, if you're new to Twitter, we've got 40 Twitter tips that'll keep you tweeting. Plus, more. This is the Data Doctors Radio Program.
Have you ever met anyone that didn't have a computer problem? Yeah, neither have we, including us Mac users now. Look, don't be a slave to your technology. Computer problems exist to make your life easier, right? So when your computer acts up, don't let it ruin your day. At Data Doctors, our team of experts can take your pain away like that. We can speed up your computer, network your office, and show you how to back up your critical data. And when you lose everything because you didn't listen to us, our data recovery experts can get that back too. With locations around the country, there's a Data Doctors store right near you. Go to datadoctors.com and just type in your zip code. Datadoctors.com, punch in your zip code, and you'll find the store right near you. Data Doctors, taking the PU out of computers for nearly a quarter century.
Delivering technology for your technology.
The Data Doctors Radio Program.
Did you know that this year, 200 million Facebook users will be infected with a virus? Will you be one of them?
This is the Data Doctors Radio Program.
Well, if you are one of them, you'll be happy to know that Facebook's trying to do something about that. Well, they are. You saw the last couple of weeks. You probably noticed your wall has been blowed up with all kinds of, like, scammy-looking stuff.
Awesome stuff. Lots of vulgarity.
Garbage.
Yeah, tons of stuff.
So they're working, and they're working actually in a partnership with Web of Trust, something we've talked about over the last couple of years several times.
Sounds like the Justice League, Web of Trust.
It's a users helping users kind of thing.
The Facebook is here to help you.
So they've partnered up with the Web of Trust folks. And what the idea here is that if a couple of people notice the scams, because there's some smart people that use Facebook too, they
the other you got 400 million?
See? Yes, the ones that aren't.
The ones that aren't getting affected. Right. So they can go and tag this stuff as suspected spam, and after a few minutes, if enough people tag it, well, they'll start warning the rest of the world who attempts to click, hey, wait a second, you know, this doesn't look real safe. Lots of other people said this is a bad thing. Are you sure you want to go down this path?
So, but here's the funny thing about this, because one of the things that they're doing is they pop up a warning if you're about to be clickjacked.
Right.
Instead of popping up a warning, why don't they just stop the clickjacking?
Why don't they pop up a happy face?
That says, we've just prevented a clickjack.
Now,
move on.
Donate.
Well, there is the possibility that they could be wrong. Could
that
be
would
false.
Never
Wait
happen.
A minute. Wait
false
a minute.
Positive.
Facebook.
There's this whole thing where the user gets to decide, ultimately, I want to be clickjacked.
Facebook is the third largest country in the world. They cannot be wrong.
What if, well, he has a point, though. What if you like clickjacking?
Yes.
What if you're into that?
What if you're really lonely?
There's a bunch of freaks in this world, and maybe you're into that.
Is that like S&M for the internet?
Could be.
People like pain.
Wow.
And Facebook.
I'll pass.
There's a whole community of people out there. Just go hunt it.
They are also offering up login approvals, which was kind of funky. So
login approvals?
Kind of like CAPTCHA.
Okay. Yeah.
So
where you got to decode the...
Correct. Yeah. So you'll get a code when you're logging in from a new device or a site that they don't recognize as something you log in as.
You're logging into this account from something new. Is this really you? Or is this somebody in Bulgaria?
Extra verification.
Well, you know, there are quite a few tools that I think most people listening that use Facebook probably have never even looked in some of these security settings, like the ability to see where you are logged in around the world.
In case you happen to right now be logged into more than one place, you can actually see that.
Yeah, you basically the idea was, oh, I forgot and left my office machine logged into Facebook. Let me from home kill that session.
Before the people around here go and prank and post stuff on my behalf.
Yeah. That has never happened before. Never,
not here.
Ever.
Never.
Ever.
We have strict policies.
So, I mean, there's just lots of great features, and they're trying to keep bolstering this. Here's the small problem with this whole chess match. They are reacting to what's happening. Suffice it to say, all this garbage occurred, and then they jumped in with these new security features, yeah?
So by reacting, you mean they are a step behind someone?
You think?
What's the saying, the shutting the doors to the barn after the horse has already left or something?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Something like that.
I screwed it up, I'm sure, but you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, so...
Day late, dollar short, how's that?
Since 600 million people tend to kind of gravitate to this one place on the interwebs, the spammers and hackers and everybody that wants at these people are actively playing this little chess game. And shortly after this protection against cross-scripting and all these technical things that are going on that allowed these crazy things to happen, they found ways to circumvent these new security tools already. So here's what you need to understand. The latest scam, you know how where it says like and then comment, and then suddenly these new things like remove this app or... it could be anything. So they figured out, the bad guys have figured out how to add another link, including the dislike button,
There's no such thing.
Everybody wants one, right? They're going, finally, Facebook created a dislike button. No, they didn't. If you click on it, you basically are allowing these bad guys to bypass all the security that was put in place by Facebook.
The only thing you'll dislike is your computer. At that point,
you know, my wife got one on her wall the other night. It was the WTF, look how stupid you are in this video. And she was about to click it. And I said, whoa, stop, hold it. When was the last time you were in a video?
And she goes, yeah. And how many of your people,
not
that
home
you,
movies, Brandon,
but how many of the people you connect with on Facebook use that as an opening line? WTF, OMG, all that, right?
Yeah, very few.
Very few. So that's a big tip off.
Yeah,
too.
Like zero.
Yeah. Scan my profile. That becomes a link. Hey, we can help protect you from whatever. If you don't, here's the deal. We'll make it real easy. If you don't hear us talking about something new on Facebook that you should consider using.
Like a new feature.
A new feature or a bug. Sometimes a bug and a feature.
Same thing.
You should just assume that it's bad. And if you see something new and you're not really sure, before you click on them, go to our Facebook page and say, guys, I just saw this in my Facebook. Is this real or is this a scam?
And remember, a few weeks back, we talked about Defensio. Defensio is one of those places that you can, it'll automatically, it's an app that adds on to your Facebook that will scan for things that are suspicious, that don't look right, that are have bad language in them. Things that would make you go, whoa, 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 wait a second.
Did I really post that?
Yeah.
How much was I drinking? Maybe I wasn't.
Well, and that's one that you put on there, but it doesn't appear as a little blue link down there by the like and the comment. That so if you get nothing else from this discussion, be paranoid of anything that comes after like or comment on any Facebook post, because that's where they're getting people.
So let me make sure I got this. If I'm the guy listening,
yeah,
don't click on anything without checking with
correct
us first.
Right, and Brandon's home number is
right 1-900.
No, but at datadoctors.com/Facebook, the very best place to ask any Facebook.
We'll have to go to Facebook.com/datadoctors.
Okay, I'm
slightly dyslexic.
Now I got to go build that other thing right to redirect it to the.
I was looking in the mirror.
Always making work for me.
Facebook.com/datadoctors is the best place to ask your Facebook questions.
And you know, a question that I have this week, just a little side note, technology is evolving, right?
Yeah.
You know that what happens in a couple of weeks with 100-watt light bulbs?
100-watt light bulbs.
They get gonged?
They get gonged. Incandescent light bulbs, out of here.
Well, they were out of my house years ago.
Yeah, I thought you were a tree hugger.
No, I drive a Prius because I'm a cheapskate. Total big difference. Well, total big difference.
But I've seen him hug a tree or two.
So LED light manufacturers are now trying to come up with a 100-watt version of an LED light.
100-watt I don't like bulbs that bright.
Isn't
stuff.
It,
for under $50.
I was going to say, isn't it $1 a watt in the LED world?
It is redonkulous.
Yeah. But they'll last for what? Forever. But then again, according to some, this may very be the last show anyway.
Exactly. This weekend, it's done. Still ahead, the Apple Store celebrates its 10th anniversary. On Thursday, they celebrated. This weekend, employees can't take time off. There's a super double secret
this
meeting.
Is the Data Doctors radio program.
All the things we talk about, including all the links, are live right now. datadoctors.com/radio.
Delivering technology for your technology.
The Data Doctors radio program.
Happy birthday to you.
This is a cool version of happy birthday.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Apple Store. Apple Store turned 10 on Thursday. 10 years.
Is that a tear I see coming from your eye?
I was there when they first opened.
It was like only yesterday that they were just this small.
I have an original Apple Store t-shirt.
You
it's
would.
In the drawer. It's autographed by Steve Jobs. So Thursday, Apple Store did celebrate 10 years. But there's something bigger going on. Bigger than the 10th year anniversary.
Supposedly.
Apparently on Sunday. And
supposedly on Sunday.
I have confirmed this with my sources at Apple.
Right, so supposedly on Sunday.
Gather in. Listen close to the radio.
Shh, just between us, right?
They're black curtaining the stores on Sunday.
I wish there was crackling fire in the background. Like,
and something as big is coming to Apple.
Something big?
They are not allowing employees to take time off this weekend. Everyone has to be in the store Sunday morning.
Say it isn't so.
7 a.m. for the big unveiling.
Of?
Well, that's what we're here to talk about.
Well, we don't really know.
I can tell you. I know what it is.
Oh.
We talked about the malware that's coming.
Yeah.
They found a worm in the apple.
That ain't it.
That was good.
Try the veal. Again? Tip your waitress.
Wait,
Ken
say it again. Try it again.
They found a worm
in the apple.
In the apple.
Very lovely.
Wow.
No. So there's been some rumor and speculation, and there's two things that we're believing the rumors and speculation to be. One is that... Well,
worm in the apple, by the way. That's the funny part.
I know.
Worm, apple.
I'm still not laughing.
Okay. Go ahead.
Trojan man.
Everyone needs a little NFC.
We do?
That's not the chicken place. That's near-field communication. Last week, we talked about blue cigarettes, those smokeless cigarettes that have those near-field chips in them that allow them to communicate with each other. This is a payment device. Everyone's talking about Apple being the first store to have that. The problem is they don't have any devices to use it.
You got all excited. I'm like, well, wait a minute. Does my iPhone have that technology built in? No. Does my iPad have? No. Does the new iPad? No.
But
does
you said,
the MacBook? No.
But you said black curtain.
Yes.
They're hiding the store.
They're hiding the store.
They have a product that they're going to be unveiling. It has to be.
But what product could it be? It's not in the right cycle.
Blue cigarettes.
Why.
Blue cigarettes.
No.
I mean, they're not going to pull the curtains because they got something going on the internet.
So that's what I thought. See, they've been working on creating their cloud music service, and the guys over at Amazon and who are the other guys? The other guys with the music service in the cloud. Google. Duh. So these guys both already have it, and so they would be late to the game, except for they did it the right way. They went to the music record labels and got permission, and they're working that whole thing out, and it sounds like they got that just about done, right? And what this means for a consumer is that rather than have to take all the music you own and upload it so that you can then listen to it on all your different devices anytime simultaneously at the same time.
Together.
I like how I stole that from you. So rather than have to go through all that pain, the piece of software would just scan the music you already own and then just enable it because they've already made the deal, right? So everything's good. Better experience.
Hey, how about this?
In conclusion,
yeah.
Expect big things from the company who leads.
Yes, and let's have any of the Apple employees that want to post on our Facebook page anonymously.
Yeah, well, I don't know if they can post anonymously on Facebook.
Maybe not. Okay, go hijack somebody. Whatever.
Send us an email.
Hey, how about a little, dear data doctors? We do try to answer as many questions as possible, and we choose one to use as our weekly column. And this week, it is somebody asking about those crazy little square blocks that are kind of popping up all over the place.
Rorschach tests?
Yeah, it's like these square things with a bunch of patterns on it. What the
squiggly
heck are
lines.
Those?
They're like barcodes on drugs.
They are.
Exactly.
They are a two-dimensional barcode. They've been around since 1994.
Wait a second. Weren't old barcodes two-dimensional? I never noticed them popping out at me.
Yeah, yeah. One, two, up, down. No, all around. This was actually invented. First of all, they're called QR codes, quick response codes, invented by a subsidiary of Toyota to track inventory during the manufacturing process. So this has kind of been in that world in Asia, and then it leaked into the consumer world a long, long time ago in Asia. It's just now starting to hit in the United States. And it's a way to quickly disseminate information. So that QR code, when you shoot it with your camera phone, you can basically have it take you to a website, take you to a coupon, geo-target, I mean, locations, Wi-Fi address. I mean, it can do just about anything when you shoot it.
Let me play the role of the average Joe listener, because when I first heard about these things, you know what I did? I fell asleep because I couldn't figure out, well, I don't care about any of this. It's an ugly looking barcode thing. What do I know what I do with it. I mean, I'm a tech guy. I get it. I got to get an app and I scan it. And why am I going to do this? What help me understand why I care.
It's a quick way to get a lot of information into a small space. So think about this. You're reading a magazine. You run across an ad for a product, and you're going, wow, that's really cool. I'd like to learn more, which is really what they want you to do.
Act now.
And yeah, the old time that you'd have to like type in a web address or you'd have to call a phone number to whatever. Now you can take your mobile phone, shoot this QR code, and it will take you to the specific page on that company's website that has more information or a special discount offer or the sweepstakes or if it's an article.
Okay, so it's really it's aimed at saving me time. And making it more accurate. Like before, I would see the side of a bus and it would say, you know, go to, you know, right. whatever, slash this, tilde that. Really? That's just nuts. This is just a shortcut.
Yeah. So in order for this to work, you have to have software on your camera phone, which we've got a list. So the advice column that I've written has all the information about what you need to be able to shoot these barcodes. And more importantly, if you're a business, how you can start creating these QR codes for your business cards, for your flyers, for your storefronts, put them on coffee cups, T-shirts. Whatever.
If you have a smartphone, iPhone users, you can get a QR reader. It's a mobile app. That's our app this week, and it's free. And for you Droid users, it's QR Droid, right?
That's the one. It's pretty slick.
And start scanning them because you'll find that they do some really, really cool stuff. So the internet, it's in permanent ink, right? Or is it? We'll tell you how you can take it all back on the Data Doctors radio program. And if you've spent any time listening to this program, you already know how important antivirus software is. But you've gotten lazy. We all do. So when your renewal notice popped up, you ignored it. Sounds familiar, right? It's the number one reason people just like you come into our stores for help. With Data Doctor's Quality Care Secure, your antivirus never expires. And when you have any computer issues, you're just a small copay away from getting the problem solved. Imagine never having a big repair bill ever again. That's the beauty of Quality Care. It's like healthcare coverage for the health of your PC. Data Doctors Quality Care. With plans starting at just $8.95 a month, there's a quality care plan to fit your needs. Stop by any Data Doctors location or go to datadoctors.com and click quality care. Datadoctors.com, click quality care.
This is the Data Doctors radio program.
Big bad evil Microsoft says 1 in 14 downloads are malware. Well, stop before you click. You got to think, is this one the one?
Tech knowledge for your technology.
Data Doctors radio program.
So start counting down, right? Number 12, 13.
Look at, you're counting down instead of counting up.
We've trained him.
Yay!
Backwards man.
It's time to talk about the G in Gmail. Stands for
great.
You guys sound like Tony the Tiger.
In
we've been practicing that together for like a week.
They're great. So one of the things, a couple things. One old feature of Gmail that makes it awesome, and one really cool new one. Ever send an email saying attached is the offer to buy your whatever it is.
What do we
buy? You send it off and they go, no attachment.
Yeah. Resend.
And you worded it so properly and you were so proud of yourself and you crafted
like
it.
And you feel like a complete idiot because
must have gotten screwed up in the email system.
Yeah, yours must have filtered it.
Right.
So Gmail has built into it the ability to see that you've typed some reference to attachment and know that there's not an attachment. It'll pop up and go, did you mean to have an attachment on here?
So wait a minute. The programmers had to take a big, huge amount of stretch here and look for keywords like attach, attachment, and attach.
Yes.
Right?
How come nobody else
is doing
all
this? They had to do is that?
Well.
Duh.
Yeah, but what happens if I'm writing an email and I say, you know, I'm not really attached to this idea.
Or I'm really attached to you.
Or I'm really attached to you. Does that suddenly become?
No, it'll just come up and say, did you mean to include an attachment? You're saying, no, thank you, Gmail.
What about
now,
if
here's
you say
the
I'm
one,
feeling very detached?
Here's the one that that Mr. Manischewitz might want to really think about activating on Gmail.
Which one?
That is the Google beer goggles.
Or Manischewitz goggles.
Manischewitz goggles.
So one of the Gmail engineers decided, you know, there's far too many people out there that are drunk emailing, right? And sending things that they really feel bad about the next day. And so they devised an option that you can turn on in Gmail. Google beer goggles.
You go into the Google Labs section.
Yeah,
right?
And then you basically, anytime it automatically, on the weekends and evenings, late night, if you send any email, it forces you to do these quick math equations to make sure that you are of sound state. Right. And also gives you, it's also another, oh, wait a minute. That's right. This is the warning thing. And if you can't accomplish the math, it won't let you send the email.
Now, this is like interlock for your email.
Correct. Now, let me dumbify this a little bit. Dumbify it. How many of you, and I'm talking to you.
Me?
Not you.
Oh.
You.
You're looking at me.
The royal you.
The other yous.
Have written an email because you're really angry at someone. You are just ticked, livid. You just want to fillet them. And you write your email and you read this masterpiece of anger and hatred and it's just vile. And then the next thing you do is you click send. And then 10 seconds later, your heart stops and you go, why did I send that? That's my boss. I just lost my job. And you can't unsend it. This kind of helps you not do that.
You can kind of, you have like a very short period of time to unsend in Gmail too, but yeah. This is really more about, I love you, I want to get back together with you in the next
month. He's so positive and light.
I have a friend who I think uses me as that filter. He'll write this email that's going to fillet someone and it's a client that maybe was tearing him up, and so he's going to tear her up, and then he calls me and he goes, hey, before I send this, let me just read this to you. What do you think?
I know that person.
Yeah. Does he take pictures of people?
Bada bing. Hey, so speaking of taking stuff back.
Yes. Let me tell you about takebacks. You ever post something on Twitter? And I know Twitter is not Facebook, but a lot of people are starting to really jump on Twitter, and we're going to have some Twitter some Twitter tips later on in the program. Ever put something up on Twitter, though, and after you've tweeted it, said, oh, I wish I could take it back. And then you look at your tweets and you go, wow, I wish I could take all of that back. And, man, I've tweeted some dumb stuff. Well, there's a website that allows you to do that. It's an API. It allows access. You allow it access to your Twitter account.
Dude, you just nerded out. When you say API, it's an application programming interface. Really? Is that it's just a website.
It's just a website. There.
Okay, go.
And it's called TwitWipe.
You just now figured out that that's interesting.
We would, as a public service announcement, when you use TwitWipe, please remember to jiggle the handle.
And wash your hands and you're done. Yes. Anyway, TwitWipe allows you to detweet everything. And that's what I did because I took an old account and reactivated it. But I wanted to delete all the stuff that I had said, including a couple of words that I wouldn't want to repeat on the radio program because then we won't have a radio program. Anyway, it's like you never said it. It takes all of the Sharpie marker that's all over the Twitter web and it just erases.
You think you can erase the internet?
You can erase with TwitWipe. You are...
You know what the technical users of this show are saying right now?
What's that, sir?
Spanky, you ignorant slut.
Why would they say that? I'm a Mac user. I'm brilliant.
So when you told me you did this, I went ahead and did a quick check. I did a quick Google search on that old Twitter account you had.
Yes.
And of course, if I click on it and go to the Twitter
and
website.
You found nothing.
Yeah, there was nothing until I clicked on the cached option in Google and saw every tweet you made from... what was it, December till June?
What do you mean the cached version?
Yeah, you ever heard of Google?
Yeah,
for the index stuff.
Use Google.
So when they index things on the internet so you can find them,
mm-hmm.
they keep copies of that on their servers so that if the site goes down, you can still get that information.
Is that where it says in the search find similar? Then you see cached. Is that what that means?
Yeah,
I never knew what that meant.
Yeah, that wasn't a payment system. That's a no. It's not gone.
That's why I'm not a millionaire. I've asked Google for money millions of times.
Yeah. So it just underscores once again, anywhere you put something on the internet, I mean, Google's just one example. There are copies of virtually everything. This notion that I'm going to send this email privately to this other person and only the two of us are going to have it.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Forward.
No. It has to jump from mail server to mail server and there's copies kept and it's all over the place.
So the stupid things that you said that can keep you from getting a job are still available if the boss is smart enough to figure out how to use cached.
Yes, and the next generation of bosses will be smart enough. This generation, not so much.
Let's just assume that anything you do on the internet is permanent, and even if there's not a simple way that your boss can figure out today, that simple way will come.
You just don't know.
You didn't see the post that I did about you, did you?
Yes, I did.
Or Brandon?
It was cached.
Well, it's been nice knowing you all.
I'm going to have to meet you down in the parking garage later.
Yeah.
Getting my office cleaned out now.
You might want to go cash your last paycheck.
I did think you were sexy, though.
No, I know.
That's what you said?
It was the picture. Oh, my gosh. I saw this picture of you.
click here.
We got to go pay some bills. Remember, the Data Doctors radio program is your source for all things tech. Not just some things, not just the silly things, all things. Find the links to everything we're talking about anytime, datadoctors.com/radio or facebook.com/datadoctors.
This is the Data Doctors radio program. Live from Data Doctors HQ.
This is the Data Doctors radio program, delivering tech knowledge for your technology.
And welcome back to the best technology resource across the entire country. It is the Data Doctors radio program. In hour number one, we covered the Android data leak, malware for Macs, the latest Facebook scams, the Apple Store's big secret, how to use and make QR codes, Gmail's awesomeness, and something called TwitWipe. All that available to you at datadoctors.com/radio. Let's look at hour number two. What's on the hot list there, Spank?
Got problems with your Wi-Fi? You're not alone. Also, Netflix has hit the gym and it's gotten beefy. Plus, the government wants to protect your cloud.
Data Doctors radio program.
But before all that, Sony. You know, we've talked about them, I think 3 weeks running now. They're trying to say welcome back to all their loyal PlayStation.
They're back!
Yeah, they're trying to bribe you with some free games. And they're, of course, going to extend your subscription for a month because they were down and all this craziness.
I changed my password last night.
I know you didn't. Because you can't.
Oh, that's right.
Because one of the things that they brought back online and then subsequently took back offline was the whole update your password online through the little interface thing.
You know, I think because they realized all those people that have the breached information have your username and password.
It's kind of like a bad romance, on again, off again.
How did they not realize that before they turned it on?
Japanese security company.
They would ask two questions. What's your username? What's your old password? What's your, like, date of birth? All this information had been leaked.
Breached, yeah.
So they've got to figure out another way to deal with getting your passwords changed, which they said was a big requirement before you did much of anything, but you can't do that. You can go and play games now, but you can't change your password.
So they were offline for 28 days, and then they came back online.
For 12 seconds.
And then parts of it went down again because they were getting hacked. So basically, they fixed some of the problems, but the hackers... See, these hackers are so ticked off that they are going to keep hitting Sony until Sony just bows.
So I don't know if it's as much as they're continuing to hit Sony or somebody figured out, wait a minute, they could go and change the password. And now the user's locked out. We're going to have an even bigger problem, right? They're just kind of a little asleep at the wheel still.
Well, the other thing is that there's no real they. It's not like this one group out there doing this. I mean, this is such a big story and so many people know about what's going on and they know about, I'm sure they're sharing secrets in the background. It's the hip thing to do in the hacker community. Just go after Sony in any way, shape, form you can.
Here's my question, though, as a consumer, as a user of this product, when they say it's fixed for good, can you trust them?
No way. Are you ever going to put your credit card number information in with them? Are you going to use your real name even?
No. I'm going to steal someone's credit card information.
Hey, you know that the thing that the hacker was trying to do that allowed people to just like connect directly and not have to go through this network? That's starting to sound like a really good idea, isn't it?
Yeah.
Private networks.
Back in the old days when Microsoft had first launched their stuff, their Xbox Live network, not so awesome. And at the time, there were a couple of different groups who made alternative networks. And Microsoft, rather than try to go after them, rather than try to shut it down, they took a look at what these other groups were doing and said, you know, if we just made our network the most awesome network of all networks, then people would come. And guess what they did? Now their Xbox Live network, it works really well. They've got great technology. And the other places, they all kind of died away.
If they only would add the F-bomb filter so my kids wouldn't have to hear that when they're gaming.
Yeah.
That would be awesome. Hey, if you have any questions about the Sony PlayStation Network or any of the technology we're talking about, Facebook.com/DataDoctors. All the links to today's program, DataDoctors.com/radio. And you know what this means, gentlemen? It's time for Geek Speak.
Little edumacation
of the week.
It's education. It's entertainment. It's edutainment.
It's geeky.
It is geeky. Every week we try to bring you a little vernacular of the tech world so that you can dig it.
Geek Speak.
You're digging it?
Of the week.
This week we're going to resurrect one that we've talked about in the past because it's really important. It's crowdsourcing.
What's crowdsourcing?
Crowdsourcing. That is sourcing the crowd, of course.
Where do I buy crowds at?
Well, so the best example of crowdsourcing I can use that probably everybody's participated in is those CAPTCHAs, which previous Geek Speak, right? Those little codes that you got to figure out and type in.
I like the new ones that are like, what's 1 + 3? Hey, I can do that. It's not squiggly letters, right?
Yeah, but you're not being part of the crowdsource group there.
You're an outsider.
Oh, that reCAPTCHA.
Yeah, reCAPTCHA is a organization that basically is trying to decipher a bunch of scanned text. And you're actually helping them, whenever you solve one of those puzzles, you're helping them try to figure out what that string of text is. So that's crowdsourcing. They're using the crowd to help them solve a problem without having to pay.
And at Data Doctors, we're using crowdsourcing right now in a different way.
Yes, we did. We did some really cool stuff this week.
We're redesigning some logo, some letterhead, and some stationery for our corporate headquarters. And we used a company called 99 Designs, and which basically takes your what you want to do and says, okay, all of you creative graphic artist-y people, here's the bid. Have at it.
So they all kind of go in there and compete and come up with their designs and their ideas and their whatever, and they post them all up and we get to review them and say, okay, we like this, but we want a little less of that, a little more of this, you know, of course, more cowbell. And they kind of adjust and back and forth. And over the course of a couple of days, you get some really kind of cool ideas from a whole different, you know, people all over the world with different ideas and different ways. And stuff that we never would have thought of.
Right. So you get 10 times as much information for a fraction of the price and in a fraction of the time.
And think about this with a crowdsource, especially for like what we just did with it. You give them feedback, and then all of a sudden other people see that feedback and they go, oh, so let me modify my design a little bit. So as all of these people see the feedback, the designs get tighter and better. And all of a sudden you have this design that if you had gone to a private company, you know, 15 years ago, you would have paid tens of thousands of dollars to have them design stuff for you for $195.
And they're crowdsourcing sites for virtually everything you can think about, including very large chemical engineering firms can go to these really specialized crowdsourcing sites and put this huge project up saying, we're trying to solve this one chemical reaction issue or whatever it is. And get really nerdy and put it out there and put like a $100,000 bounty on it. And it turns out that they're going to get hundreds of engineers with for that kind of a bounty working on it all over the world, trying to be the first one to solve this problem. And they know it's only going to cost them $100,000 to solve this problem as opposed to millions of dollars and maybe never solving it with five engineers in-house.
But couldn't they use crowdsourcing to stop the hacking? Wouldn't that?
Ooh. That crowdsourcing.
Crowdsourcing.
Let's call a snitch.
It's geek speak. It's very useful.
Hey, by the way, we have an extensive list of crowdsourcing sites from a previous radio show we did on this. So datadoctors.com/radio. Check out the link to all of the great crowdsourcing ideas.
This is the Data Doctors radio program.
So have you ever met anyone that didn't have a computer problem? You know, everyone's got a technology issue now and then. And, you know, you become a slave to your technology at some point. Look, computers exist to make our life easier, right? So when your computer acts up, don't let it screw up your day. At Data Doctors, our team of computer experts can take away your pain fast. We can speed up your computer, network your office, and show you how to back up that critical data. And if you lose everything because you didn't follow our advice, we can get that back for you too. With locations around the country, there's a Data Doctors store right near you. Just go to datadoctors.com and type in your zip code. Data Doctors, taking the PU out of computers for nearly a quarter century. Go to datadoctors.com and type in your zip code.
Delivering technology for your technology.
The Data Doctors radio program.
Did you know there's a list of the top 10 tech-inspired baby names? PC, Pascal, and of course my favorite, Mac. We've got the complete list at datadoctors.com/radio.
This is the Data Doctors radio program.
Would you believe that the government may actually be here to help us?
Never.
I don't think most people realize that. Based on the Electronics Communications Privacy Act, 1986.
The what?
It's some legislation from 1986, back when the internet was fairly young. And most storage costs were pretty extensive, so stuff didn't get held on to for very long. They got rid of it. And so the way that act was put together, the government doesn't need any kind of warrant or anything to go inquire about anything that's stored on the internet. Based on the way that bill was written.
That seems fine. We can trust them, right?
As long as it's been on the internet for 180 days or more, they can approach the ISP or whatever. And that this is in place today.
So it's part of the permanent record.
Well, no, it's just their way of getting to information without having to jump through hoops.
Yeah, we already talked about it. It's already in Sharpie. They don't have to subpoena information if it's protected in some way. They can just have it.
But Senate Judiciary Committee Chairman Patrick Leahy from Vermont.
Liberal.
He's a duh.
Delicious syrup.
Well, listen to this. He's proposing very sweeping privacy protection that would require the government for the first time to actually get a probable cause warrant before requesting this information on these stored servers.
But they'll just circumvent that, right?
Think about back then, email was pretty much anything that anybody cared about. Today, you have all this cloud storage, you have all your files, you got all your music, you got all your video, all of that stuff as of this moment, they can go request that information without anything more than, hey, we think the guy's dirty.
So can I. It's called Google.
No.
Well, he's talking about not like the YouTube videos and the Facebook stuff you post. He's talking about the things like...
Your private stuff.
Okay, so Google Docs, right?
Yeah.
You write poetry. Well, who cares about that? No, you write... you list social security numbers. That's all you do all day long in Google Docs.
That manifesto you've been working on.
That's a good example. I was trying to come up with one. I couldn't. He's better at that than me. Anyway, so you've saved that in your Google Docs, and you think that's just you because it's password protected, and maybe you shared it with two people, and those two people were Ken and I. Right. And then I know. So they can get at that too.
But that's my personal private document.
Yeah, so it's on the internet.
Well, they just suspect that you're a bad guy, and they can go after you. So
you look like a bad guy.
Hopefully this legislation goes through, because, I mean, in this day and age, that's redonkulous for the government to be able to do that without probable cause warrants. So,
and has this been happening? Is that what prompted this legislation?
Well, since there's no need for public record, there's no need to go through a process, how would we know how often this is happening?
They do what they want, when they want, how they want, and what you going to do about it.
Don't ask questions. Don't ask, don't tell.
In a different way. Speaking of don't ask, don't tell, don't tweet unless you... know what the heck you're doing.
I know what I'm doing.
Well, but just because you got a Twitter account doesn't mean that you just go in there and you start like tweeting away, oh, I woke up, I took a shower, I walked the dog. We found some interesting kind of tips for whether you're a newbie at it or you think you're a pro, but maybe you're not. We came across like 40 tips for Twitter users to help you kind of get rolling in the Twitter world.
The likelihood of the newbies out there in social media, they've probably been on Facebook for a long time or a while. I think more people have been on LinkedIn. I think Twitter is probably the one that most people are just kind of starting to get a sense of. So there's going to be a lot more newbies out there. That's why we rounded up this particular set of tips. There's some real simple things I can tell you right now. I've been on Twitter for a while, and there's a couple of things that just scream newbie that you want to be aware of.
Can I take the first one, guys?
Yes.
The egg. The incredible edible egg. If you have an egg as an icon, you've just laid an egg because... Okay.
And you don't mean like an actual egg. You mean like the little silhouette-looking dude that is the default, right?
Yes. Yeah, so the Twitter symbol is that little bird. And if you don't put a picture in, that bird lays an egg. And that is your icon. So that is your avatar.
And so when you reach out to somebody on Twitter and the egg is your avatar...
Noob!
You're probably not going to get a response because they're going, okay, you need some time to figure this thing. Your egg needs to hatch.
They and think so, you're schmakaka.
Yeah, upload a picture of yourself. So if your Twitter account is you, make sure there's a picture of you. If your Twitter account is for your company, fine, put the logo up there. But don't make the mistake of I'm trying to represent myself as a person. I'm going to put my company logo up there because I don't want my picture up there. It's bad form.
If you don't like your picture, get a photographer.
Well, I mean, but this is social media. The word social, that's the part you kind of got to be on there.
So another... is be the expert. If you're going to say something, be the expert at it, right?
Like I am.
Does that mean put it in all caps? Because that means you're saying it with authority?
No, it just means know what you're talking about. Know your stuff and be the leader in that area.
Pick your niche, right? And share that.
Like me, MacTastic
and
guy.
And one of the early mistakes, you probably don't recall, very, very early on, because you were one of those Twitter, whatever.
Whatever.
Right? Do you remember this or no? Or are you just blogging
no
this
recollection.
Out?
I remember sitting in an office and you were going, I don't know, got on Twitter thing. I was like, blah, blah, blah.
The Vicodin maybe has kicked in too much.
Yes, but it has.
So you were saying, oh, I'm not going to, I don't know what to use this for. And this is, you know, when you were talking about your photography business, right?
Yep.
And I said, just talk about photography. People are interested in that. And those are tips. And so you said, hey, there's this really great camera I'm using or whatever. And you tweeted about it. And I said, okay, the problem with that is you didn't include a link. So people go, okay, great information. How do I learn more?
Because you only have the 140 characters,
you didn't
it's
put the
important
link in it.
When you're talking about something that people might want to go deep on. You got to give them a place to go.
Well, it gets even better because you use what's called a URL shortener. So if you go to goo.gl, that's Google's free URL shortener, shortens that stuff. I mean, because that's another mistake you see from a newbie. They put a whole long website into Twitter and they have room for like two other characters.
Yeah, a period and an exclamation
big,
point.
Big long URL, check it.
Yeah.
Done.
So the other thing that happens is when you start using these URL shorteners, you can also track to see, do people care about what I'm tweeting about? Simple stuff. You just, somebody's got to tell you.
Very easy.
That's what the doctors are here for.
One of the big things on Twitter etiquette is huge. And one of the things that drives me nuts are people that I call Mary Sunshines.
Mary Sunshine?
Mary Sunshines and Debbie Downers. People who, their world is so perfect. Nothing is wrong. Oh, just went for a marvelous stroll. The dog was prancing in the sunshine. And then you got the other side of it that people go, life sucks. This is all bad. Everything is really bad.
Why does everything have to happen to me bad?
Right. So you've got Mary Sunshines and Debbie Downers. Look, take some lithium, equalize your emotions, and become a real human being. I mean, not everyone has such a perfect morning.
Disclaimer, Spanky is not a real doctor. He's just playing one on the radio. Do not take this to your pharmacy.
Thank you.
This is not a prescription.
I can write you a prescription, though.
Yeah, not that one.
I don't know if it'll be filled, but whatever. Hey, still ahead, have Wi-Fi woes? We can tell you why. Plus, when your Wi-Fi does work, you might notice Netflix has gotten even beefier. It's the Data Doctors radio program.
All the stuff we talk about, including the links, are live right now at datadoctors.com/radio. Have a question for the program? Post it. Facebook.com/datadoctors.
Delivering technology for your technology.
The Data Doctors radio program.
Ah, the wonderful world of Wi-Fi. Can't live with it. Can't live without it. You ever wonder why this wonderful technology stops working?
Because Brandon set it up.
Yeah, wait a minute. It works for everybody in the building.
Except for me.
But Spanky.
And Ken's wife.
Well, in my room that has this, once you walk past the doorway,
sir,
all done.
Your room, it has many things. And part of it, I think, is the antiques. They're casting a shadow.
I see.
They say nay to technology.
Well, Wi-Fi is obviously omnipresent and not working. In so many cases. So we thought we'd give you some of the top reasons why this wonderful technology ain't so wonderful sometimes.
It's a little impotent.
Yeah.
You could say that.
Number one, it's your neighbors.
Your neighbors?
Neighbors. You need
I
to
like
move.
My neighbors.
Need to move.
So are they interfering with us?
Yeah. Unfortunately, every one of those little Wi-Fi base stations is a little broadcast system that is broadcasting. And your computer by default goes, oh, there's one. Oh, there's one. Oh, there's one. Oh, there's one. Is jumping around trying to go, that one might be stronger.
So it's always sniffing.
You need a bigger lot.
What's even worse is when all of you use the default SSID, which is the labeling for the thing. So everybody in the neighborhood has the same name, Linksys.
Default. And the password, you can guess too. Hey, look at that.
And your computer's going, Linksys. That's the one I'm supposed to connect. What? Which one? That one? This
They're
one?
All named Linksys.
And the problem we have in our house, or used to have in our house, was baby monitors.
Is that how your wife was monitoring
your crying?
Your activities? Your working from home activities?
Such a crybaby.
I know. Baby monitors interfere with them too.
Yeah, because it's the same spectrum, right? It's just this wireless spectrum that's out there that can be used by anyone, including microwave onions. Onions. Microwave ovens.
They make me very teary.
Yes, they do.
Those microwave onions. So what about those the pirate thing? Bluetooth.
Bluetooth devices, they can
they
interfere.
They can. Cordless phones.
Here's a big one. If you ever have a party at your house,
yeah,
and you have lots of people in a room, bodies are made up of water. Lots of people in a very small space seem to absorb these Wi-Fi signals, and they don't, and you lose your signal strength.
That's why my phone doesn't work at the bottom of the pool.
Exactly.
Water blocks water. It.
Well, you might want to just go ahead and line the baseball cap with the tin foil, because that would help
keep the aliens
deflect
away.
Some of these.
But you know what? It won't stop.
Nothing will stop, unfortunately.
It's time for the backtastic tip. My favorite part of the program, and yours too, because it should be. Everything you want to know about Macs and why they are Mac-tastic. Ladies and gentlemen, built into the OS, the Mac operating system, is a wonderful little feature. If you've ever been reading a long document, a manuscript, something boring from Ken...
That's, you know, most everything.
Yeah, an article, perhaps.
Right.
There's a little feature in your Apple OS called Summarize. You take a document in any text editor or word processing program, and you can
In the Apple Services menu, click on a word that says summarize. Summarize will take that document and summarize it. Pare it down. Find the important phrases, the important words that make the document easy to understand and digest.
You want to know how I summarize emails I get from you? Just to pare down to the important stuff, the stuff that's really I got to have.
And how is that, friend?
I just hit the delete key.
That's a quick summary.
That's
hey,
a
by
burn.
The way, by the way, a lot of people are going to go, oh, what about us Windows people? Here's this really crazy thing. The summarize, the auto summarize feature used to be in Microsoft Word. 2003, 2007.
Yo.
2010, they removed it.
Because nobody used it.
No, I probably because... Why? Why would you remove a feature?
Yeah, it's stupid when they remove things.
Maybe you can buy a plus pack to put it back.
There's a service pack for that. There's an app for that.
No, they've said, yeah, it's been removed, but they didn't say why.
Maybe they'll add it back at some point.
Maybe we'll get the Clippy instead.
Maybe we should go watch a movie.
That's a good trade.
Let's go watch a movie.
Movies? Why are you guys talking about movies?
Netflix.
Netflix and?
Well, Netflix signed a deal with Miramax, and now they're going to be, starting in June, Netflix has got a ton more content.
So you can now see every Ben Affleck movie ever made.
Affleck!
No, different Affleck.
Oh, okay, sorry.
So more important than seeing Ben Affleck, is as interesting as that is to you guys.
Yes.
Netflix was... Is it just me, or did it seem like everything that they had available pretty much you've seen before?
And yeah, that's the problem.
That was the problem, and I got burned out, and that's why I canceled Netflix.
Like most people, that's number one reason why they're like, I'm done. I've seen it all. Don't care.
How many times can you watch a program?
I wonder if this is like a reaction to some of the other services out there that have a lot more stuff.
Well, I was doing a little digging on the intraweb.
You dig the interweb, don't
I
you?
I do. And apparently this move came because Hulu Plus is starting to kick their butts.
Hulu Plus? So that's Hulu. What's Hulu Plus?
Hulu Plus is that paid service we talked about a few weeks ago. $7.95 a month. And you have access to very current content, this year's episodes. And it's fantastic.
Yeah, not so much about movies. It's more about television programming, right?
Yeah, mostly television programming.
So, I mean, in essence, they're competing with those dollars. People are saying, if I'm going to spend money on a monthly basis for content, what am I more likely to watch, these current shows or these really old movies?
Right. Here's the other problem, though. Even with this Miramax deal, Pulp Fiction, seen it a dozen times. Good Will Hunting. Kill Bill.
What about Kill Bill 2?
Good movies, though.
Yeah, but several hundred movies will be gone like that. They're going to run out of content. Again.
Again and again.
So this is not going to be any worser?
Hey, still ahead, how much malware is being downloaded right now, right this minute? We've got some crazy numbers for you. You stick around right here on the Data Doctors radio program. Hey, speaking of malware, wouldn't it be nice if you not only had protection before you started surfing, but had protection even if something went wrong? What if you had a whole group of guys standing by, ready to take care of all your technology problems, ready to help you with whatever you needed, anytime you had troubles? Well, you can have that. It's Data Doctors Quality Care. It's a program we developed just for customers like you when, you know, you've got these little frustrations, you've got these things that go on, you've got trouble. We can take care of it all. It's easy to get set up. You just go by any Data Doctors location. You can find us online, datadoctors.com. You ask them about Quality Care. We've got programs that include your antivirus software. They can even back up all your stuff securely online. It's safe. It's protected. We've got it all for you. And again, when those problems, when they hit you, we've got your back there too. They can solve all your problems. It's Data Doctors Quality Care. You can find it at datadoctors.com.
If you've seen the movie The Social Network, you know about the Winklevoss twins. Well, they're not happy with $65 million. The Winklevi are now taking Facebook case to Supreme Court. Is it just me, or does anyone else want to whack these guys in the head with an oar?
Tech knowledge for your technology.
Data Doctors radio program.
Hey, so Ken was showing me something kind of cool that I already found a use for.
Ken and cool, sir, do not go in the same sentence.
I'm sorry, and I know he doesn't like when I use the word cool, because he says I overuse cool, and that's not cool, but whatever.
No, it's cool.
So this thing is cool. It's called Google Cloud Print.
Oh, it is cool.
And it lets you take, if you have the Chrome browser installed on your machine, it can be on your Mac or your PC.
And if you don't, what are you waiting for?
Yeah, go get that thing. Right, so you install the browser, and you can go into the options, and you can enable something called Google Cloud Print, which basically takes, by default, your default printer, and it hooks it up to the interwebs. Well, not just to the interwebs, just for you on the interwebs. So you can then log into your Google Documents, you can log into your Gmail, whatever, and you can print to that. Well, who cares about doing that from your desktop? You already could, right? What about if you're out in the world on your tablet, your Android tablet or your Android phone, or you're at home or whatever? You got a bunch of reports that you forgot to print. You need ready for that meeting, and you know you're going to be running late because you're going to the dentist, like I did this morning. You can just print that junk, and it's sitting on the printer when you get to work, all through the magic of this cool Cloud Print thing.
Now, we have to caution you, though. Don't print sensitive documents if you're not going to be there, because you know someone's going to do that.
Well, those sensitive documents are usually the ones you make when you sit on the copy machine.
So here's where you can make it look cool. You can make it look like you were working really late.
Yes.
Right? So after everybody leaves, you print from home at the office, right, on the main printer that everybody, yeah, see?
Sure.
And some techie guys listening are, well, I could already print the office before. Yeah, you had to remote in or connect a VPN. And all this is you go in and you just do your normal thing and you print, but it just happens miles away in a secret bat cave somewhere.
We love Google Chrome for many, many reasons. And earlier in the show, we talked about how Microsoft is touting that 1 in 14 downloads is malware. They were doing that because they're really trying to pimp Internet Explorer 9. They claim that they've blocked 8 or 9 million rogue downloads as a result of the IE9 going out. IE9 is definitely getting some good run. It's got some interesting possibilities. So we'll continue to test those things out. Just keep it tuned here. Well, right now, you should have all the browsers loaded on your machine.
I will not have IE9,
all 26
sir.
Of them.
Yes, and use whichever one you like, but there are times when one of these alternative browsers will come in handy.
Now,
stay tuned.
Because we like to talk about things in the bi-platformal way.
Jace.
Mac and PC users.
Can't we all get along?
We can. We all love to customize our user experience. Can we hold hands and light some candles? We all like to customize our user experience. We want to have our desktop look a certain way. We want to have our browser look a certain way. Well, Google allows you to do something very cool. I love personalized browsers. I love to be able to see pictures of my kids, all five of them, or my wife, or whatever I want.
All two of them?
Wait,
that's wrong.
That's wrong. I don't live in that state. You can customize the artwork on Google no matter what browser you use. So whether you're using IE9, Google Chrome, Firefox, Safari, Opera, pick the browser, you can customize it. You can change the background image on your browser's main screen. We have detailed instructions on how to do it, datadoctors.com/radio, but it's so simple. If you have a Google account, all you have to do is go to the lower left-hand corner of the browser, and you'll see a little text that says, change background image.
You're talking about when you're actually at the Google search site.
At the Google search
site. So instead of that boring white background.
Correct.
You can have this beautiful picture of me.
So help me again, because I clearly don't get it. Why do I care about that? I want to search. I don't care about seeing my kids for the 50,000th time in the same image. Really? Why do I care about that?
Because, Brandon, you're boring.
Apparently.
You don't like customization. You are...
I don't see the ads. My desktop has just
lemming.
Got some junk on it because my apps are open all day. What do I care about what's on my desktop background? Do I care?
Because other people who use the internet in different ways than you do...
all must use it my way.
They like to have that personalized experience. That's why the internet was developed and designed by Mac users.
What?
We like customization and personalization.
What?
All right, Al Gore. Start with that.
By Mac users?
What else did you invent?
Personalized internet. It's
they're rewriting history every day.
Oh, I'm sure. It's an inconvenience.
Go to macopedia.com and find all of the things that they've done in history.
We created heaven and earth.
Your people? The Mac people?
So Brandon's perception of the world, of being him, being the same, being... What am I trying to say? What I'm trying to say is, you know, we love tablets.
We do.
And we think everybody's got them.
Everybody does have them.
Well, there's data that suggests that about 5% of the U.S. owns a tablet.
That's not everybody. Not even close.
But I know who owned the first tablet.
Oh, no.
Ever?
Shut it. Shut it, sir.
He was one of my people.
Of course we know. It's going to be his...
The Newton?
His name was Moses.
It's the guy...
The original tablet.
I thought you were going with Jobs.
Wi-Fi was not available, so he threw them down. That's how they got down the hill fast.
Oh, okay. Is it true that there was originally 15 commandments and then he dropped one of them?
Yes.
So it's 10?
And the first five broke, yeah. And then...
That was from...
That's what survived. The 10 commandments.
The history
we
of the
can
world,
repair right? that in our laptop repair.
Yeah. No hard data recovery. They're still there. But yeah, I mean, the reason why that's important is I think a lot of people think, well, okay, it's over, it's done. There's so much innovation to occur yet in the tablet market because there are so many potential customers. So the tablet wars will continue to rage on. You'll continue to see some really interesting things pushing boundaries. It's all good for all of us consumers.
And one of the stats that they don't report in there, I'm wondering how many of those 5% are actually multiple tablet owners. Because I know in our family, we're multiple tablet owners. I know several of my neighbors. You, Ken, you've got, what, 5, 6, 7, a dozen?
What?
He 12. Has one in each room of the house, including
but
the bathrooms.
But it's percent of the U.S. I would think that means people. They should probably exclude like all the people that are under a certain age that really babies don't have tablets, duh.
The data are the data.
It are?
any opportunity to say the data are.
And on a final note,
yes.
Apple once again filing an awesome patent. Apple text-to-speech-to-text patent for phone calls.
Text-to-speech-to-text. I gotta wrap my mind around this. I'm going to text something, it's going to be spoken and then retexted?
Correct. A synthesized voice. If you're in a crowded bar, you can text your thing to somebody, and on the other end, they'll hear Stephen Hawking say, "Hey, you want to join me tonight after the bar and go to a movie?" Dumb.
Another solution searching for a problem.
Exactly.
Brought to you by the folks in Cupertino.
Apple usually does it right. This time...
Not so much.
Hey, there's lots of stuff we didn't get a chance to get to today, but have no fear. We've got links to everything that we talked about and maybe even a few bonus links. datadoctors.com/radio. And remember, if you get stuck with your technology, your hard drive starts clicking, you got a broken laptop, whatever, you can find Data Doctors anytime. datadoctors.com, put in your zip code, and find the location nearest you.
This is the Data Doctors Radio program.